Now, Sports Talk with Broads. Here's Hunter Brody.
Hey, what's going on, everyone? Real quick, before we get started, over on Twitter, at Broads Media, we are running a giveaway where you have the opportunity to win a beautiful Eagles sweater pullover. This thing is outstanding. I want it. I can't have it. You can retweet the pinned tweet and follow me as well. It's that simple. If you're new to the channel, smash that subscribe button, hit the thumbs up button as well. And with that being said, enjoy the show. What is going on, everyone? Welcome on into Sports Talk with Broads. There's so much to tap into when we think about this loss to the 49ers. And we will begin with the press conference, the day after press conference, by Nick Sirianni. And he opened up discussing Brandon Graham's injury. He's going to be out for the year, which is absolutely devastating. We saw the snap counts afterwards, right? We saw that this morning about Josh Sweat and Ryan Kerrigan and the usage rate. You just paid Josh Sweat. It's not going to be easy to fill the role of Brandon Graham. It's going to take a lot of pieces. Each individual will now have to put more percentage, more energy in, so as a combined unit, that can make up for Brandon Graham, which will be extremely difficult. And then there's the intangibles, which nobody can duplicate, which is the leader, the personality, the character that he has and he brings to the office every day when he clocks in. Brandon Graham's a tough one. Brandon Brooks, not done for the season, but IR is going to pretty much be the move with the pec injury. All right, so Landon Dickerson, right? Well, there were problems. There were adjustments that need to be made, which is fair. The dude gets thrown right into the fire in the middle of a matchup against a 49ers team that's lethal in that area. I would expect for there to be hiccups along the way and questionable moves at times. They didn't rule out Nate Herbig, though. When asked about possibly Nate Herbig, no comment on who would be the starter. Just interesting. I would be really shocked if it wasn't Landon Dickerson. Would that tell me a lot about Dickerson, or would that tell me more about Nate Herbig? See, the whole thing with Maialata, and everyone's like, Andre Dillard sucks. He's the worst. No, Jordan Maialata is fucking filthy. And that's not to say that Andre Dillard is some great player, but I'm telling you, what that battle was all about is more about the special talent of Jordan Maialata than the absolute disaster of Andre Dillard. He's not what he was supposed to be, and it's clear they have to work through the personal side of the game, the mental side of the game, the personality traits with this. That's what they have to coach up, the emotional side. Let's be realistic. He's not handling the mental side of this very well. Jordan Mailata was great, and I don't know, though, what that would tell me more about Landon Dickerson or Herbig. Probably Dickerson, right? If I'm just honestly assessing this right now as I speak out loud to you all, it's Landon's spot to win based off of where he was drafted, the stock they put into him. If they could show off that Alabama player right now, you don't think they would if they could? You don't think that would be their number one option? Absolutely. So, just something to keep your eye out as the week continues. And then right before I press record, we got the news that Zach Ertz is now on the COVID-19 list. He's on the reserve list. So, you know, based off of his vaccination status, we possibly can see him on Monday against the Dallas Cowboys. Something else we will keep our eye out on. But here's what I loved from Nick Sirianni today from the presser. He clearly held himself accountable. He did this post-game as well, saying he didn't really love the fourth down call. It just wasn't it. They did not like it. And he was questioned about the look on it because it was a one-play option. If you didn't have the play with the throw, boom, you're pretty much eliminated and you're going to lose that battle. But he said, look, it's a wide receiver throwing the football. And yes, Greg Ward was a college quarterback before, but most plays when you do the gadget stuff, when you try the trick play with a wide receiver throwing, it's, hey, you have it or you don't have it. They gambled, and Nick Sirianni isn't proud of that moment. It ties into this, though. he talks about just, yeah, you want to move on to the next game, but you can't just do it without fixing those problems. You can't have the same mistakes happen over and over and over and over again. And we're so used to this lifestyle in football where the head coach's head is huge, right? It's massive. All they talk about is, I stick to my guns. I made the call. I love the call. I made that call for a reason. I put that in my playbook for a reason. All right, well, it's okay to admit that it probably wasn't the strongest decision in that moment. Nick Sirianni is very willing to say, you know what, I made the mistake. It's about how do we not, though, the next time out there. It's clear, and so far to this point, he's shown me everything he said. When he says something, he's accomplished that goal. Whether it's competition, whether it's except for this game, this is the first hiccup along the way, but I want to put my players in a position to succeed. We will teach family. We will teach brotherhood. We will stress the details. Let's get back to the fundamentals of the game. That's going to be our base. All of that has really transpired this year. So when he is going to tell you that this is part of the Nick Sirianni experience, when I mess up, we're going to attack it as a coaching staff, hold our coaches accountable. Doug Peterson, that was the biggest damn knock. He didn't even coach the coaches. And that's a part of coaching. It's not just about the players. Nick Sirianni had a hell of a day today. It's not fun. It's not a good day. You have some tough conversations, but you go over it. And you assess. So it's not over and over and over again. All right, it's great that that's being acknowledged. Now it's step two. This is a journey, multiple step process. Step one, admitting something has to change here. Step two, start analyzing what that can be. Go over your options. Talk about it with the people surrounding you that's supposed to be part of this with the coaching staff, right? Step three, apply it in practice. Repetition. Punch it in. Do it in real time. Do it when the game is on the line. Do it when it matters most. I don't understand, though, why Greg Ward was out there. When somebody doesn't play all day, and when he's not a consistent part of your offense, and now he's thrown into the fire here in the middle of a game, and everybody's aware. Look, it's the National Football League, right? These people aren't stupid on the other side. Greg Ward, alarm, alarm, alarm. Hey, hey, it's going off in the head. Possibly something's about to happen. Huh. That's why I thought the 49ers were bang right on the money with it. So the game plan was a mess. And there's so many different ways to tackle this one. For anyone who thinks it was more about the 49ers just being good defensively and the game plan wasn't that horrible. Believe it or not, I did hear that today. If D'Amico Ryans, let's say, really made it tough for you over the middle, so you had to go in another direction, which is throwing the football deep and playing that long game, Nick Sirianni, as I just alluded to, really wants to make sure his players are in the best position to succeed. Jalen Hurts, he's not the greatest deep ball thrower in the world, and more on that in a moment because I swear to God, people are going way too extreme in one direction, and it's pissing me the hell off. But it is safe to say that that's an area that isn't his strongest. So even if D'Amico Ryans and this team in the 49ers said, hey, give them the outside, we won't give them anything in the middle. And quite frankly, Nick Sirianni's game plan was the same thing too. So you're playing into the hands of exactly what the other team wants you to do. Your job is to counter. Your job is to make an adjustment. You can't just allow the other team to take it from you and you say, okay, instead we'll try this, which is our quarterback's weakness. That's bad football. That's bad football. Learning moment, teaching moment for Nick Sirianni, but it's not smart. And before you say, well, there's a reason why they're not throwing it over the middle with Jalen Hurts, because he's not good enough. He can't throw the long ball. Well, it doesn't mean they're right. Doesn't mean they're making the right decision by not giving him the opportunity to throw it over the middle. And two, this whole narrative that he doesn't have it in him, he does. I watched the throw to Quez Watkins. I watched the throw to Jalen Reagor. You know what was the problem? Yeah, Devontae Smith, there's problems with his mechanics. He doesn't have the strongest arm in the world entirely. It's not as big of a problem, though, as you're saying that it is. You don't need to be taking as many shots, so it needs to be limited. When you do it over and over again like today, yeah, you'll see flaws in it because it's not perfect. No one's saying it is. That's why this is a journey and a season where we need this player to adapt and grow. I think Mike Kay said it best. It was more about the timing of the throw and the placement of the throw, which, sure, I got you. It's a problem, too, and it needs to be worked on and it needs to be fixed. He's not a perfect product. But it's not the arm strength. I heard Brian Dawkins speak about it today. Mechanics. He had some beautiful throws out there. If he couldn't do it at all, there would be zero beautiful throws. He can do it. I've seen him air it out 50 yards in the air. He can do it. It needs to be worked on more consistently, but you act as if he can at all. If he can, and he works on the consistency of the mechanics. And it's not just talking about arm strength. You know who has great arm strength? Carson Wentz. You want Carson Wentz here? You know who has success and goes to the Super Bowl? Jimmy Garoppolo. If I'm Kyle Shanahan, I could do more damage with Jalen Hurts than Jimmy Garoppolo. Let's be realistic. The Tennessee Titans with Ryan Tannehill. They have success moving the ball schematically. It's an era of football where mobile quarterback is in. If you waited over a certain amount of time to draft and draft and draft quarterbacks until you found one with the top three arm, you know what you'd be doing? Sucking. They don't grow on trees. Would I want it to be more splashy of an arm? Sure. But my problem is people set false expectations for quarterbacks where it's not possible. The bar that you're setting is not even humanly possible. Oh, he missed that one play. He was unreal against the Falcons and missed a play to Zach Ertz. And I brought it up too. But now that it's been a whole nother week and all these haters are taking it to an extreme level, I'm getting fired up about it. There will be bad throws. Do you know who had a bad game in week one? I'll tell you, and I'll bring up the stats just to put it in perspective for you, okay? I wrote a little article on it on BrodesMedia.com. If you want to check it out, you can go to BrodesMedia.com, hit the drop-down menu, go to blog and check it out. But it's called My Eagles Psychological Study. Here's Aaron Rodgers in week one. 15 of 28 for 133 yards, zero touchdowns, two interceptions, 13.9 QBR. So don't tell me, yeah, but you don't have Rodgers. Yeah, but you don't have Breeze. Yeah, but you don't have Brady. Yeah, you're right. We don't have the top three quarterbacks in an era. Yeah. What do you want to do? Just keep turning over the position until you find that? Call me in 15 years of doing that. Josh Allen, his first year, 5-6 with a 52.8 completion percentage, 10 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. Yeah, both of those guys have arms. I gotcha. I'm telling you that there's a growing process, though, on how to adapt in this league. No one's going to be perfect. Every quarterback makes bad throws. Every quarterback will have one that's a little bit shy of his wide receiver. Everyone. Just let it play its course. We understood what this season was all going to be about. Let's learn together. Let's adapt together. Let's become one together. Nick Sirianni going back to the drawing board. Okay, makes sense. You got outcoached by Kyle Shanahan. It's not the worst thing in the world. It does seem when he lets it go, though, he has to reset his whole body when he's moving along and trying to throw that way. That's where you see the lack of arm strength. When he has time, and he does have time with this offensive line, but when he has time to reset it and kind of really reset the whole mechanic side of things, which is massive, clearly, you know, the ball does go the distance. So he has the ability, but yeah, I mean, sometimes it comes down to needing the time to do it. One more thing Sirianni mentioned on Hurts himself. He was going to the right guy. So it's clear we talk about them being predetermined on who they want to go to. And with these plays in week one, they snapped the football and everyone was on the same page, running the right routes, releasing at the right time, setting the screen perfectly, right? Bing, bang, boom. Everything worked together as one. That's something they put in Jalen Hurts' brain prior. Go here, go here, go here. Like predetermined reads, right? That's anyone. You run through your progressions. They were available more. But with this, he was going to the set players that Nick Sirianni wanted. That's part of Nick Sirianni coaching Jalen Hurts. Whether that's right or wrong, we will find out more as games play out. I don't know if that's right or wrong. I'll see if it works for this tandem. The throwing over the middle of the field thing, though, that needs to change. It has to happen. You're not going to succeed all the time throwing it around to the sidelines. Attack the middle. See, there was one point in this game where they ran the ball around 25 times or so, and they threw the ball 15 times or so in that range-ish. They were really committed to the run, and they were running it on a 49ers team where, you know, they have strong players in that area. Why not target the opposing team's weakness? Which they, I guess their mentality was, run the ball, take your shot. Run, run, take your shot. Run, take your shot. Where I have the problem is, and I talked about a step process already in this show, it's perfect here. They went from step one, which is run the football, to step three, which is take shots downfield. How about the play action and let's rock with some intermediate throws towards your tight ends? They were 11 personnel 75% of the time. You know, if you're thinking about the tight end usage and the reason why they only had four targets towards their tight ends, I mean, it's crazy. So here's some statistics from Tim McManus on the 11 personnel. With San Fran's secondary banged up, it makes sense the Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni would want to attack it. I agree. They went overboard, though. He continues, there were some extreme changes in the offensive approach in week one. The Eagles were 75% of the time in 11 personnel, up 15% from week one. Meanwhile, Jalen Hurts' air yards attempt went from the lowest in the league to the highest in NFL week two. Not surprising, Hurts' average time to throw jumped to 3.25 seconds to 2.86 seconds. It's important to show variety week to week and scheme for each opponent, obviously. But the rhythm passing, getting the ball out quick, allowing wide receivers to create, that worked so well for Hurts and his playmakers week one, was not heavily emphasized week two. And there's a lot of reasons why that is, right? It's more than just the opposing team is really strong or the head coach didn't put it in the game plan properly. It's a combination of a lot of things. Lack of execution, better team, better talent. Trying to emphasize something else throughout the week. Multiple times. But multiple things, I should say. But, I mean, you're thinking about Dallas Goedert, Zach Ertz. These are your playmakers. Put your players in position to succeed. Utilize your players' advantage and maximize the potential on each snap. Not having them out there. And I know speed kills. But they went too overboard with it. That's the issue. There's a line. They crossed the line. You know who else crossed the line? Derek Barnett. How about this? This is courtesy of Zach Berman of The Athletic. Derek Barnett now has been flagged for 8 personal fouls in his career. 6 unnecessary roughness penalties, 2 roughing the quarterbacks. His penalty today was the difference between 3rd and 15 from San Francisco's 27 and 1st and 10 from San Francisco's 42. A costly error that lived up to the description. You know what's the problem? He's going to need to be utilized with Brandon Graham not available. And he's making boneheaded decisions. If I'm Nick Sirianni, I'm calling him in my office like, yo, dude, sit down, let's go. You are a crucial part of this team. We need you to take more snaps. We need everyone chugging along in the right direction. I'd replay it over and over and over again. I might even dive deep into the film of the dumb things that he did when Doug Peterson was here as well and show it again. You will not do this under my coaching. Give him another opportunity after you drill him. No! Like I'm talking to my puppy upstairs when she starts biting me. No! No! No biting! That's what I do to Derek Barnett. He's had plenty of chances. Dumb losing football. Now it's the NFL. It's not Little League. It's not Pop Warner, I should say. You can't be just the coach that just benches everybody. They make millions of dollars. But drill it in the head. Accountability, that's a big thing from coach, huh? That's what we heard. All right, we have anytime hotline calls to get to for sure. Before we get into that, it's been a great start to the NFL season, and it's only getting better at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. DraftKings is kicking off another week of action by giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. Bet just $1 on any football game this week and receive $150 in free bets instantly, no matter what. And this football season, all customers can swing big with DraftKings same-game parlays. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code BROADS to receive $150 in free bets instantly when you place a bet of $1 or more on any football game. That's promo code BROADS to get $150 in free bets instantly this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only, restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. So before we get to the calls, this defense, clearly from the surface, 17 points, not an issue at all. They don't create enough turnovers for my liking, considering that Jonathan Gannon made it clear that that's something that they care about. And Nick Sirianni even said it today as well. He cares about explosive big plays and turnovers. That's something that they clearly value. And there's been moments, right, that Kayvon Wallace play was a problem because of the helmet-to-helmet call, which that would have been a fumble recovery. There was the play where it was... Give me a second. Was it Javon Hargrave or Hassan Ridgeway that tackled Matt Ryan in the backfield, and it was an intentional grounding instead of a fumble? That would have been one. Darius Slay missed an opportunity to have a pick in the first game. Steven Nelson had a couple pass breakups. Anthony Harris in game two against the 49ers should have had a pick. So there's golden opportunities. They're just not fully cashing in. I guess you could look at the positive and say at least it's there. If you think about the percentage, it'll eventually start shifting in the Eagles' favor if they constantly are getting them, right? I mean, I guess it's possible for sure. They're just not fully dialed in and detailed in enough right now to perfectly execute. But that's a problem if that's the case. I think they got to be stronger in that area considering this is what they want to do. It's a statistic that they value and study a lot. Hasn't happened yet. At the same time, their defense hasn't been a problem, though. Not the biggest problem. I don't like the lack of sacks. They had two quarterback hits, zero sacks. And I saw Fran Duffy throw out there all sorts of tape on Fletcher Cox and the impact that he's making without being on the stat sheet. And no doubt about it, it's clear as hell that Javon Hargrave is maximizing Fletcher Cox getting double team and the protection sliding one way because of Fletcher. The difference is, in years past, guess what? He'd beat that too. He'd be so electric that he'd get by that too. Now, look, I get it. He's older. It makes sense. It's hard to demand that when someone's played so many damn games and has so many snaps under his belt. He's got a lot of miles on the tire, right? It's only inevitable that this eventually shows up. I understand that. But that's why we talk about Fletcher Cox the way that we do. Yeah, you know, it's not as big. It's big, but it used to be even bigger. Not Aaron Donald. But I'd say that tier right down. Right down that way. Aaron Donald's in his own tier. So the one down below Aaron Donald is probably your actual standard very good players. Aaron Donald isn't human. So, you know, it's unfair to talk about anybody in that. All right, the Anytime Hotline is sponsored by Orbit Energy and Power. With over 20 years of industry experience, Orbit Energy and Power is home to your solar experts in both residential and commercial projects. At Orbit, they're dedicated to making sure your project is completed easily and properly by using high-quality materials and trained professionals to get the job done right. They even take care of all the permitting and fees right there in the office, saving you the hassle of extra paperwork. Orbit also provides water purification, backup energy services, battery storage, electrical upgrades, new roofs, heating and cooling, and so much more. So check out their information at orbitenergy.us or call 800-836-3987 to get started. All right, here we go. Let's hear from you.
Yo, bros. So here's what I'm thinking, man. Yeah, that was a tough loss to take, but really, honestly, I think the blame falls on Nick Sirianni. And the only reason why is I feel like those play calls in the red zone were just terrible. And going for it on fourth, the play call, I mean, I know it looks like he's going for the Philly special, but come on, man. I mean, honestly, with the block field goal and what should have been a touchdown with the Quez Watkins huge 91-yard catch, which was beautiful, by the way, beautiful throw. Honestly, the Eagles should have been in that. But my biggest fear, man, is just Jalen Hurts' arm strength. And, oh, I don't want to be one of those people, but, man, I'm just concerned, man. But I hope you can change my mind.
So I already discussed that earlier, of course. With it, it's not as if it's unfair. It's fair to talk about it. It's fair to bring it up. Just don't cross that line. I like toying with that line and making that the breaking point, right? Like, there's validity to what you're saying, and, hey, why is this happening? And it was a concern in Alabama. It was a concern during the draft. It was brought up for a reason. Think about how special Jalen Hurts is in every category that we speak highly of on him, which is a ton, right? It's a ton. The intangibles, the leadership, the great kid, the work ethic, how well he can be coached, all of it is sensational. Why wasn't he a first-round pick? At the same time, though, say that to Tom Brady. Say that to Russell Wilson. Say that to a lot of guys that don't get drafted in the first round and don't get drafted early. I mean, people doubt them, and then they prove them wrong, right? So that's why maybe he slipped to the second round. That's why maybe a team did not take him, because they doubted him, and then he shuts everybody up by being a nice, solid starting quarterback that can help provide you a ton of success as a franchise, right? Just don't go overboard. I don't understand he can't. You saw that he can. Maybe they can get the consistency down. Maybe they don't take as many shots. So less shots, higher percentage. Joel Embiid, way too many threes. That's what we heard over the years, right? At times under Brett Brown, yes, you have to admit there were games where it's, what, 7 threes? What, 6 threes? No. Well, you take less threes, higher percentage, more efficient. Maybe that's a road they go with Jalen. They have to start targeting the middle of the field, especially, though, with their top playmakers being that tight end position. The offense, that the goal line, I keep hearing, why don't you bring Jordan Howard in? See, you're overthinking things. Why don't we start calling practice squad guys up? And I understand why you're saying that. What he brings to the table and his body structure, he can power through. Just QB sneaking. Jimmy Garoppolo's out there QB sneaking. We don't need to now start bringing up a practice squad guy, although it is interesting. No Boston Scott again. So it's Gainwell and Sanders. And I love those two, but Jordan Howard brings something so different. Why isn't he here? I don't know. I'm just fascinated by the running back core in general, how they've used it to this point, which is two players. But I'm not ready to start screaming for that. I'm not screaming at all, to be honest with you. I'm kind of just witnessing from a distance and analyzing that way. You know, with the defense, great, 17 points. That 9-minute drive, though, 8-9-minute drive, 15, 16 plays, long, wore you down. Earned every inch, they did. And they went through Gannon. They did. But when the offense is struggling and you can't get passes by, you're out there for a while and you get fatigued. The Niners were 0-for-5 on third down on their first four possessions, then converted 6-of-9 on their last five possessions. The difference, 6 of their last 9 third down situations were 3 yards or less. 4 of their first 5 were 8 yards or more. So the difference is the distance. Third and short, bang. Third and long, uh-oh. So maybe the Eagles can do something about that. Recognize what the 49ers did. Hey, they got in third and short situations. Let's focus on that. Instead of the bombs, let's go the other way again. And who knows? Maybe your playmakers in space can go for a run. What's next?
Broads, I'm sorry. That was a really frustrating game to watch. It really was. Jalen Hurts today took way, way too many deep shots. A lot of them were very not necessary. And the offense in general couldn't get anything going until that last drive. And this loss in particular falls on the defense, particularly Derek Barnett, who should be on this team. He should have been traded or cut a while ago. And Kayvon Wallace. Stupid fucking penalties killed us on that drive and gave San Francisco first down, allowed them to, you know, burn the clock more.
Yeah, but that's not why they lost this game. This game was lost prior to that. It definitely didn't help, and it's definitely factored in. If you're thinking of the pie chart, yeah, Derek Barnett super late was dumb. Kayvon Wallace, I don't think it's his fault. It's just the nature of where today's game is. It's an unfortunate circumstance. Bang, bang, play. And, yeah, I mean, you have to know that moving forward, that's something you can't consistently do. But that's more of the nature of today's game and how wonky it is, more so than I'm blaming him for it. That doesn't even relate close to what Derek Barnett went through. You know, you can't say it's clearly on the defense and clearly on those mistakes. I mean, your offense barely moved. If you look through, and I know a lot of people are taking out that Quez Watkins throw and that Quez Watkins 90-plus yard bomb. You take that out, it was a disastrous game in the passing game. Like, awful, vomit-worthy, terrible, disgustingly pathetic. And even with that thrown in there, it was bad. It was bad. It was a bad game by your offense and by Nick Sirianni, which we expected. Good moments, bad moments. So this is a part of the bad moment. I'm just not going to go to the level of that caller and start blaming the defense to this wild, you know, to this wild level here. 17 points to Kyle Shanahan. You think Kyle Shanahan knows how to operate an offense? You know how he can get Deebo Samuel in space to murder you? Mitchell, let's go. The fact that Kittle was barely even mentioned is mind-blowing. Huh. How about that? All right. Next.
Hey, Rhodes. It sucks that we lost. You know what? I'm happy with the effort that our defense pulled out and our performance that our signal caller pulled out. And I just feel like that's what we saw in this game is something that you could seriously build on. Defense got a lot of pressure on Jimmy Garoppolo. The offensive line looked pretty good for the most part against the big boy defensive line. And Jalen Hurts really controls the game, but just doesn't have the weapons to keep up with these defenses just yet. And that's something that you can build on for the future, which is all that we really needed to see. One more thing. Can we please get Derek Barnett off this team?
That seems to be the consensus. I don't necessarily agree with some of the things you're saying, though, that they don't have enough talent to beat the 49ers. So the 49ers are injured. This version of the 49ers, they could have done better. Now, would they have won? I don't know if they would have necessarily won. You would think they had a golden opportunity, considering 17 points is a very beatable number, so it's very possible. This Eagles team, going up against that banged-up version of the 49ers, that version, not the healthiest version, that version, especially in week two where there's still a lot of players, you know, just finding their rhythm at this level now. It's not training camp. It's not joint practices. It's football for 60 minutes of you're in the trenches, you're in the gridiron. This is no joke now. It's early in the season. Maybe you can catch somebody off guard. This version of the 49ers, the Eagles should have been able to produce more offensively than they did. Big time. Nick Sirianni with a better game plan would have absolutely helped out this team, for sure. I'm not even doubting it. Needs to be sharper. But in theory, your general concept of let's just see what they do from week to week, yeah, I wouldn't want it any other way than the Dallas Cowboys on the road after this. You look at this as a coach, yeah, that was a nightmare. How do we learn from it? What do we do differently? Oh, what's that? The fans now are about to watch me go up against a Dallas team in Dallas? Okay. How do you respond, coach? I'm looking forward to it. I'm very fascinated by it. I really am. I'm also fascinated with BetQL. Want to get an advantage over your sportsbook? You need to download BetQL, the only app you'll need to make smart bets. Their model covers everything from spreads, over-unders, and player props. There is sharp data so you can see who the pros are backing. Line movements, you can jump on betting opportunities in real time. And team lineup breaking news and injury status updates. Head to the App Store or Google Play Store now to download BetQL. Enter the discount code BROADS at payment checkout for 25% off any of their subscription offerings. You can find all this information down below in the description. Thank you all so much for listening, and I will see you next time.